With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Calling It with Ivan Yates and Sean Defoe,
a News Talk original podcast.
Hey, it's Sean Defoe here.
And I'm Ivan Yates.
And this is Calling It for the final time. 45 episodes, is it, Ivan? Over 3 weeks that we've managed to do?
Yeah.
Like, a fair shift, in fairness. Yeah. And we are recording this on the 6th of December, 1 week on from General Election Day. We now know the makeup of the next Dáil. Fianna Fáil winning it. They are going to be the biggest party. They are the biggest party. 48 seats in the Dáil. Sinn Féin behind them on 39, Fine Gael 38. Labour and the Sock Dems following with 11 each. And then the other big stories was the Greens almost a wipeout. We'll get into talking about that a little later on. Just one seat. Maybe the Independents not doing as well as they thought. And a smattering of TDs among the others. But as we take a breath, I suppose, Ivan, in the week after, before we get into the figures and how we got on with the final Calling It, because we will be running through how we did, where we got it right, and I know what people are really listening for, where we got it wrong. A week on, it feels a little anticlimactic, doesn't it? That it's sort of more of the same going to be coming in.
Oh no, I'm deep into who's going to be the next Count Corla. Watch for Ronan Murphy. I'm deep into TDs saying, you know, I got my pony in. Can you mention me for cabinet? James Lawless and different people. Like, this is the classic jockeying for position time. This is where careers are made and lost between now and the 10th of January. So there's jockeying for the 18th of December, for the concord of the committees and all that kind of thing. But there's really negotiating teams and so on. And oh, it, like, talk about backstabbing. Oh, it's lovely. I'm enjoying every minute.
And there we go. We're finally into the actual fun stuff. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, because people are tuning in, no doubt, for the predictions. We both put our necks on the chopping block. So I've done them in two streams. One is parties per constituency. So there are some where we got all the parties right but didn't get the candidate right. So you think of Cavan Monaghan, maybe, where we predicted them right but actually Pauline Tully lost her seat. So there's two streams, one with each individual candidate and how many we got, and one of just the parties. Where would you say, percentage wise, gut, how do you feel?
Well, put it like this, you know, to be honest with you, you know, and speaking to you privately, this has been my best ever in terms of accuracy. The Sinn Féin surge in 2020 caught me off guard. But I actually got Fine Gael and Labour and some of those, the Greens, right. But I got the SF axis wrong. I just want to give credit to you, Sean. You've actually improved my technique here, because the data that you're providing with me, you know, if you have shite data, you have shite predictions. You actually have provided, and you've worked really hard. And, you know, people might know, but Sean Defoe is one smart guy. And I don't say that lightly or loosely. So fair credit to you and so on. I would say that there is only two that I would put my hand up and say, wow, I completely missed that. In other words, if we were having a pint, in some of these, I could oscillate. Like, I think I made six changes, four of which I had it right and got it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I did the Olympia and the Cork Opera House, and I went there and said, Liam Quaid's going to get elected, Ken Flynn's going to get elected, and Holly Cairns is safe, and so on. Like, I was really on the money in September, but I listened to the wrong people. So I've put a little red book and a black book of people whose opinions, they're spinning me, and it's not true. But I would say this, that there are only two, Paul Lawless in Knock and Claire Morris into, I spoke to Peter Tobin and he didn't mention him in his top five, and that was his only second TD. I said he'd only get one TD, and the other one I just did not pick up was Owen Hayes in Dublin Base. Yeah. Everyone else, I could say, okay, if you showed me the result, I'd say, I accept that. In other words, there's so many multiple options. Like, you know, like success looks like getting, so it's, here's the five-seater, getting the shape of the six or seven, getting the transfers, you know, like Noel French in Midwest. I actually thought, if you listen to it and were interested in your constituency and you're working for News Talk doing the count, you got the best possible guide from a stranger doing it. And I actually think it was really good.
Yeah, no, oh, and overall, the figures are bearing that out. And thank you for the kind words. I'm going to cut them now and put them up on LinkedIn for myself.
Absolutely.
So, overall, the two of us got 12 constituencies entirely right. Like, two of us both predicted the same on them and got them entirely right. 16 others that we got totally right based on the party seats. So we predicted the parties. You called 22 constituencies completely correctly on party. So 22, absolutely no mistake at all. And I also called 22 completely. So we're right, very close there when it comes to them, even though we had some different predictions. And now we have to get into the final numbers. So...
go on.
When it comes to party, so this is, we predicted all the party seats but might have got some of the candidates wrong. I predicted 149 correct, that's 85.6%. You predicted 150 correct, 86.2, so one seat higher.
Well, that isn't a true reflection of my knowledge, but anyway.
Well, hey, one over.
But no, can I just say, in some cases... I was delighted that you went deviated because it gave the listener more options to say, because like there's some of these I could do 10 podcasts and keep changing.
Well, Cork South Central is the prime example where
and North Central and Kildare North. Yeah, it drove me wild.
And some of those where we flipped and you know I went for Pádraig Rice and you went for Laura Harman. It ended up being Pádraig Rice, but that was a genuine top up. And then when it comes to the exact individual candidates, so where we named each specific one, again, I had 141 for an 81% strike rate, and you had 142 for an 81.6.
So you know what they say about cream. In a bottle of milk.
So here, we both said over 80.
Photo finish.
But we both said over 80 would be sublime, and that's where we got to. I'm pretty happy. Like 86% is nothing to be sniffed at, in fairness.
I can tell you I've done worse previously. But so, what angle do you want to go? Because so there's lots of lessons here that
I've
learned.
There's lots of them. So you've outlined the two that you just didn't see coming, and I think they're both fair in Mayo and Dublin Bay South, and very, very few people did. Other than those, what's the one that's niggling at you that you're like, God, I wish I'd done differently?
Well, we'll put it like this. On the changing it, I am furious I went from Liam Quaid to Willie O'Leary because people actually, I have said consistently Liam Quaid in Middleton for the Sock Dems, watch it, write it down. If they gain no surprise seat, that will be one. And changing my mind in that was criminal. Also, I had John Paul O'Shea in Cork Northwest. A Fine Gaeler told me Creed would be ahead of him. He was wrong. You know who you are. There was a few that the... So, People Before Profit underperformed in this. They got three so it out of five.
Yeah.
Mick Barry lost, Gino Kenny lost, got some of that right, but Conor Reddy didn't perform. So they had a bad day. The Independents... Frankie Daly, Michael Fleming, I should have spotted the Sock Dems surge there. Mm. The Sock Dems is a perfect replacement, Sinead Gibney, for Catherine Martin, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Woman, middle class, lefty, liberal. You know, I should have got that one. And I was in the hustings in Sandyford. So I'm annoyed with myself for that.
That's the one that is kicking me as well, because I heard Sinead Gibney on a debate a couple of days before it, and she was on with Piers Doherty, Jack Chambers and Kate O'Connell. And she was by far, in my opinion, the most impressive of the four. And I still just couldn't quite get there. I thought Catherine Martin would hold on. And in the end, she just flipped Catherine Martin's vote and took the seat.
Donegal's another one. There was someone in News Talk who's from Donegal. And I had it absolutely 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
Two Fianna Fáil, two Sinn Féin, the right personnel. And I had picked Ward of Micah. And they said, no, Pringle never gets beaten. And I switched to Pringle. That was a mistake. So, like, put it like this. It depends who you listen to. In Cork South Central, the Fine Gael seat, Shane O'Callaghan versus Jerry Buttermore. The director of elections for Jerry Buttermore was on to me, and I just believed the wrong information there. But overall, there were some incredible performances. Fianna Fáil's 3 out of 5 in Carlow Kilkenny.
Yeah, I didn't see that happening, and they managed to pull it off. You got that one completely
right.
And
I changed to Natasha Drennan.
You did?
Yeah.
The only one you didn't call there is the Catherine Canlehan would be the Fine Gael seat, and that's a very impressive performance from her.
Stop. Cavan Monaghan, we were on air on Sunday night and we got the first count and I said, this is deceptive here. There are two candidates not in the first five who are going to be. So Niamh Smith did very well there. Fianna Fáil got the last two. Claire,
The surprise there was Cathy Bennett unseating Pauline Tully, which very few people saw coming, even in Japan.
Interesting note for the future, Dynasties, Leonora Carey, Michael Creed, Mark Staunton, all carried the name of the previous incumbent. They're all beaten by fellow Fine Gael TDs. Dynasties are dying as a brand. Cork East, we've discussed. Cork North Central, well, I tell you what, you could do it 10 times. I was sick because I was told Owen Kenny from Mallow would get a seat. He did get a seat. And actually, I changed my mind 3 times about that. I shouldn't have done it. John Paul O'Shea, we've discussed, instead of Michael Creed. I got the two Moynihans right. I was Andreas did really well there. The redraw Ballincollig was taken out. Andreas Moynihan did well.
Yeah.
Will the rift between Michael Moynihan and Micheál continue? Will there be an olive branch?
Yeah, he's been talked about as a potential Ceann Comhairle.
Right. No, the independents, I think, will get Ceann Comhairle. But anyway, that's all in the mix now at the moment. Cork South Central, you're absolutely right. You went for Rice over Laura Harmon. A few of those battles, a bounce of the ball. Holly being safe and Fine Gael not getting a seat. I want to give credit to Michael Collins, mark my card on that.
Mm.
You know, not only was he topping the poll himself, I said, who'll get the last seat? Give Holly the seat. Is it Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil? And he winked at me and he said, I don't think it'll be Fine Gael. And I stuck with that.
That was one of those ones I got wrong where I thought, and there was enough votes. There were 11,000 first preference Fine Gael votes and they just split them pretty evenly. One couldn't get ahead of the other. And Christy also.
In fairness, Barry Heenan, we were calling him before anyone was calling him.
And I thought he was dead and buried on the Saturday of the camp. He was nowhere near the top.
What I heard afterwards? You know, Deirdre Heaney versus Tom Brabison?
Yeah.
The Hohe Mafia got out and went full-blooded for Brabison.
Which is exactly what I said I was picking up during the campaign. So that was one I got up, Brabison over Heaney.
We've discussed Bay South. We thought Hazel Chu and Chris Andrews. We knew Chris Andrews was in trouble. We didn't spot Owen Hayes. South Central, you know what? Aside the semantics of Dahi Dunal. There were so many candidates of the left. I didn't see Sinn Féin getting 2, and I didn't see Maura Devine getting 2. But you know what? It's the most left-wing constituency in the country, and it just was impossible. Like, Breed Smith didn't manage the succession for Hazel de Nortune. Labour's Murray Arty, who I was in favour of, he's one of the ones who didn't make it. Like, to be honest with you, you'd need to sit down in a rubber room after looking at Dublin South Central. It's very, very hard.
It was remarkable in that there were genuinely 9 contenders after the first count and very little to separate any of them. I think
7-8%.
They were all within 600 votes of each other. So that was incredibly hard. I was told, and Kino Callaghan did say to me at the start of the campaign, watch Jen Cummins in South Central, and I just didn't think she'd get there, and he was right.
Dublin Central, a lesson from this election, Father Time, Claire Daly, Wallace, Alan Shatter, Kate O'Connell. When your ego encourages it to go back to your former glory, don't do it. Mm. Bad idea. Things aren't in the same place. The monks showing, I want to give credit to Mary Lou and to Sinn Féin. No far right, or we'll say career criminal, got elected. The person, and you saw all the camera videos, get out of here in the flats, you're not welcome. Sinn Féin took this on the chin.
Mm.
And they, if Mary Lou does nothing else in her political career, they are the people who saw off the far right in this election, in the flats, on the ground, at the coalface, on the front line, and they deserve some credit for that.
Why do you think, because you excoriated me in our last episode for suggesting even that Hutch had a decent campaign, why do you think he did so well?
Well, mostly News Talk and the media. They pumped him up. You know, I mean, like, you know, please. I mean, it would have been a national shame if he got elected.
But he wasn't far off.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like, the point is this. The country is full of dubious. Like, we don't have the most sophisticated electorate. We don't. Sorry.
Classic. Blame the electorate when you
absolutely
get into this. Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Fingal East. The feature Angraves.
I didn't see Angraves.
First of all, I didn't see Farrell losing his seat and I didn't see Grace Boland. So actually, if you take the six-seater of Fingal, I got Fine Gael right with one seat, but it was the wrong person. And Grace Boland, way like Lorraine Clifford Lee ran a poor campaign. She's one of the senators that Fianna Fáil need to pull the plug on. I'm sorry, you need to move on to the next generation. How many times do you need to lose before you realise you maybe got the not got the best pony in this race? But Anne Graves' performance, because I had said to you that Louise O'Reilly should have stood in the other Finglas where the heart of her area was in swords. Because Anne Graves didn't do great in the local elections, again, that was misleading. There was a last 10-day surge to Sinn Féin and Markdown. If there had been a February election, Sinn Féin would have got 50 seats, in my opinion. So they occasionally listen to me. But in terms of self-harm there. But that was a surprise. Dara O'Brien topping the poll. Duncan Smith, Markdown. Ivana Bacek, not going into government, has to subject herself to a 6 months vote of confidence. There's mutterings in the long grass. Duncan Smith could be standing as a candidate.
I think that'd be absolutely mad.
It's not for us to decide what's mad or not. I'm just saying there are residual over the shafting of Kelly issues, and just don't rule out.
But they shaft another leader, having gotten rid of Howling, having gotten rid of Kelly, and finally being on the turn. Because I've heard the same mutterings. I don't see it. I think he is definitely one to watch for the future. There is almost a red wall forming in Fingal, the two seats there now. I don't think that time is now.
No, sorry. It's just a snippet, a vignette. I'm just saying
because I've heard it a few places, and I don't think it's going to happen. That's why.
It mightn't get traction, which I accept. Hey, Robert O'Donoghue, who told you? And you came back to me and said, I spoke to Louise Eyre and she bit the head off you for what Ivan said about Robert O'Donoghue. And I said, write it down, he's going to get elected.
Hey, I had him predicted as well. Robert O'Donoghue from very early on, he was going to be in. Grace Boland was one I called as well. I had heard from that side of it that she was going to.
And that was one, would there be no... So Fianna Fáil elected one because there's plenty of others. Yes. Fine Gael elected the Fianna Fáiler.
Yeah, Midwest we got bang on Gogarty.
Paul Gogarty. How what a genius I am. Shane Moynihan, Paul Gogarty. I changed it to Gino 100%. And it's very hard to get where there's an extra seat and a redraw.
Yeah.
Like that is just a work of art.
Dublin Northwest then, because this is one of the areas we agreed. I ended up being right. Didn't have a very strong feeling on it, but I thought the Sock Dems would hold on. Roisin Shorthill had done enough. And Rory Hearn took the seat over Conor Reddy.
Yeah, I have to put my hand up here. I didn't think Rory Hearn would make it. He defied predictions and well done to him and to Roisin Shorthill. Let's see if he gets re-elected.
Yeah, we've spoken about Rathdown with Sinead Gibney coming
Shea
in.
Let's be clear. Fianna Fáil, Shea Brennan, Catherine Arda, Shane Moynihan, real green shoots. Potential Dublin leader in the 2029 election, Jack Chambers. I see real resurgence. You remember, in 2011, there was only one seat. Brian Lenihan died. They had no seat in Dublin. The legacy of the crash is much worse and has been much worse for, you know, more than a decade for Fianna Fáil in the capital. They recovered quite quickly as 2016. Real signs of positivity for Fianna Fáil in Dublin.
Yeah, Dublin South West. I ran into Kieran Ahern yesterday on his first day in the Dáil heading into the Labour Party meeting. And he said he had saved the episode of Calling It till after the election and listened to our predictions after he had been elected as a TD. He's one you were hot on, but you sort of you changed off to Alan Edge.
Yeah, I know. Kieran Ahern is Sean O'Rourke's son-in-law, which is a positive. He is a solicitor from Rathfarnham. I rated him highly. You know who you are, who told me, Fianna Fáil, that Alan Edge, when I rang him to say, how did you steer me away from what I was doing? He said, Alan Edge had the best posturing campaign, but he lost momentum as the campaign went on. Right. It was kind of wham, bam, big impact, and then it diminished. And that, you know, it's another after timing saying, oh, I could have told you it was Kieran Ahern if you asked me again. But like the truth of it is, the existing TDs did well. A positive for Sinn Féin. So they're looking at the succession for Desi Ellis. They have Carney Bode did really well. in this case, Niamh Whelan, his PA, did really well. They've solved a few problems for the future. I could see on the ground war alone, Sinn Féin looking at 50 seats next time.
And there's a really interesting, I think, thing about Sinn Féin in this election, where they've become more of a normal party in Dáil elections, as in they have a floor of probably about 18%.
And incumbency,
And, well, this is it. The TDs that were elected last time, who we said, God, who the hell is this guy? Okay, one or two lost their seats. You're looking down in Tipperary South, for example. But a lot of them now are going to be at least two-term TDs and will have bedded in more than a decade of Sinn Féin having a seat in that constituency.
Dublin West was all about Roderick. There was a person misled me on John Walsh. He was about 1,500 votes short, and he was hyped up to me. I believed it. Ruth and Roderick got back. In fairness, the Green had been such a hard time. I was delighted Roderick got back. Just to have one toe in the door there. Succession managed for Leo to Emer, and Jack is and Paul are safe. Yeah, as predicted, more or less, with that one thing of John Walsh I got wrong.
Yeah, and Ellen Troy did better than we thought as well there, Brain too. She was in the shake-up towards the end of that. We got Dunleary bang on. Galway East, the surprise package was Louis O'Hara, and we did talk about him as a young TD, and he was very close last time around, and just Sinn Féin surge, bit more groundwork, extra seat, got there in the end.
Albert Dolan, Obama-type campaign, really successful. Anne Rabbit. So I made a couple of calls. What went wrong in Kildare South? What went wrong in Mayo? Now, I don't know whether, you know, Anne Rabbit became, you know, like Donnelly. We did get Donnelly right. The fact of the matter is, there's a bit of a post-mortem there about Anne Rabbit. She shouldn't have lost. There should have been two FF there.
What was remarkable as well was just the manner of it, because I thought she would be there for the final seat. She only got 4,000 first preference votes, and Albert Dolan topped the poll at more than 10,000. You know, if you were trying to manage the vote there, nothing to brag
about. Galway West, I got feedback about Mairead Farrell to say that I called that wrong. She topped the poll. I amended that and I got it 100%. The Gráinne implosion picked up. So that was one where we started off in one position and we ended up and we spotted the change.
Yeah, and hands up, I said that I did say that Shoga would get there in the end. I thought she'd be more friendly on transfers and she wasn't. So you got that one right there on the Fianna Fáil seat. Kerry, another one you got right and I got wrong. You got the two Fianna
Fáil. Would you believe it? So a very good friend of mine is Michael Finucane, and he was in the Dáil with me. And I really am fond of him and Anna, his wife. He rang me and he as much said, Ivan, you know you've made a complete titty or something. And I said, how's that? He said, did you not see the TG Carr poll? Billy O'Shea is on 14%. Like, he's now 1-7. Like, how embarrassed do you feel? And I had recorded the change in calling and I hadn't changed it. Cahill and Norma to get the two Fianna Fáil and no Fine Gael seat. And this was really a sore point with Fine Gael people that I was doing them down. And hey presto, you know what I mean? The councillors did not do the work. He had never been on a ballot paper before, and it was just a bad, bad strategy, a bad candidate selection. You know, it should have been a Griffin.
Yeah, he was in the shake-up, but he ultimately got edged out by Fianna Fáil, and that poll was way off in the end. Kildare North, again, in other ways, where we had predicted two Fine Gael, and it ends up being to Fianna Fáil. And I was steered wrong a little bit here by someone in Fianna Fáil who was talking down their chances of two and saying they just didn't think Nisha O'Carroll would get there. And he did, and put out one of the longest serving TDs in Dáil history in Bernard Durkin.
Yeah, I'm a fan of James Lawless. He was originally from Wexford, did some work with them. Mark it down. I think he'll be Minister for Transport and Energy in the next cabinet.
Senior Minister.
Yeah.
Steps up. He could well be. Where are we going then? Kildare South is, we got this quite wrong now, in fairness. So we had the Cowan automatically re-elected. Martin Hayden, that was obvious. And then in the end, it was Seán Ní Rathaoirligh, the Sinn Féin TD, and Mark Wall, who pip in ahead of our predictions, which was Fiona O'Loughlin and Cathal Berry. And Cathal Berry, redraw really, really made it difficult for him. He never really managed to recover. And then, so you think that the Cowan didn't do a whole pile?
Well, his councillors didn't. Only one councillor for Fianna Fáil and South Kildare really pulled their weight. Just two things. I'm bewildered about this insofar as that it could have easily been a different result. Cathal Berry, I think there was the absentee factor there that was controversial. Just going forward, I think Martin Hayden will be the new Minister for Agriculture. A, he's on the negotiating team. B, Leo didn't care about agriculture. He's been the junior minister there Fine Gael want the Agri brief and will trade it for justice, I think.
Okay.
And they're looking. Harris is very conscious of the farming vote.
Mm. That's going to be an interesting one. We might get into the cabinet positions a little later on. But just to whack through some of the other ones, we got completely right. Laois, Limerick City.
Just on Laois, that Maria McCormack, write it down. She went from 245 votes to 6565. She will be a TD in due course. One of the real Sinn Féin progress stories. Like the Stanley thing had happened so close to the election, but I'd say Stanley won't stand in 5 years' time. Write it down. Marie McCormack will be a TD.
And she takes that back. Moving off Conor Sheehan in Limerick City. That hurts.
Oh, stop. D. Ryan is going to be a senator. She is the long-term succession plan for Willie O'D. But here was an independent that everyone hyped up, Frankie Daly, and independents did not perform the day. He actually did quite poorly.
Mm. Yeah, one of the
and good stories. Luck to Conor Sheehan.
Under talked about.
You remember
stories.
Alan Kelly? Ivan, if you don't predict Conor Sheehan, I did, and then I changed.
Yeah, and he's been strong since he was elected already. A few media performances. He's going to be in there. Former PA to Jan O'Sullivan, taking back that seat. Limerick County, we got right. The first one we did.
Most stable constituency in the country.
And then Longford Westmeath. And this was one of those ones where Fine Gael kept on saying, Micheál Carrigy's going to take the seat. Micheál Carrigy's going to take the seat. And we didn't believe them. And Micheál Carrigy took the seat.
And Joe Flaherty was incumbent. There was one Longford. We got Boxer right. We got Sorker right. People said you're wrong about Sinn Féin. Got all that right. I got Longford County wrong. Hats off. The best performance of any candidate in the entire election for Fine Gael was Michael Carrigy.
Yeah, and he didn't just get in ahead over Joe Flaherty. He blew him out of the water. Yeah. It wasn't particularly
it was an incredible performance.
Yeah. Louth. Now, Louth.
I've never seen anyone have such a hatchet job done on them as Joe McGann.
Mm.
And I did change away from him in the changing one to Erin McGreen, got that right. Joanna Byrne's performance in Drogheda was outstanding. Did I get that 100%?
You got that. No, you didn't, because you had Kevin Callan taking us
to
the independent.
That's right,
and instead it was
again, another independent who flattered to deceive.
Yeah.
Mayo.
Now here we go.
I need therapy after Mayo. I mean, it's just this Paul Lawless. I had to check when on the Sunday we were doing the stuff and you, who is this Paul Lawless? I thought I got my head around all 686 of these candidates.
He's an interesting guy that we didn't really talk about in our podcast because we didn't think there's a huge amount of chance, and neither did Aintu. He's a maths and PE teacher from Knock.
Such a hatchet job done on Patsy O'Brien.
Yeah, there was.
8258 versus 9506. So there was 1,300 votes in the end. Put it like this, I find when someone comes in like this and that they might stay there. But Rose Conway Walsh's performance was stunning.
Mm.
First woman to ever top the poll. Her running mate, she got a quota. Her running mate, Jerry Murray, also did well. And Aintu. There are two left seats going forward here. And I'd say Sinn Féin will have their eye on one of them.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And
how right was I in Meath East?
In Meath East,
Gillian Tor. She beat the Toland of Fine Gael by 3,500 votes.
Yeah.
Like sometimes people are saying, say, oh no, there's Bonner and there's this and that. And the other. It was blindingly obvious. So there's an extra seat here.
Yeah.
There was all the outgoing TDs, Darren O'Rourke, Thomas Byrne and Helen McEntee. And it was sticking out like a sore thumb. Geography, independence nearly having a quota. It's going to be Gillian Toole. How people didn't see that, you know.
The next counties on our list, Meath East, Meath West, Offaly, Roscommon, Galway, Sligo, Leitrim. And out of those, you were 17 of 17.
Yeah.
Call them all.
No, I'm really strong in the Midlands, if I say so myself. Do you know something? There's only 116 votes between this newcomer, write her down, Aoife Masterson for Sinn Féin. John Clendenin just held on.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a text from my source in Offaly saying this could be tight enough in the end. It was. But she certainly is someone for the future. And Eden Derry still has no TD. And would you care?
Roscommon Galway, we talked about. Sligo Leitrim, as you were. Although there was a good push from Michael Clark there of Independent Ireland to take the seat. And then Tip North.
Yeah, Marion Harkin's vote was down.
It was. Yeah. Now, someone who may end up being a minister.
Well, but put it like this. Doubt it. But the way it is this, she's going to support the government, whether or which.
Yeah.
A committee chair, maybe.
Okay. Not a junior minister.
Maybe.
For the North West.
Maybe not a senior.
Geographically might help. Yeah. Tip North, right party's wrong candidate. Ryan O'Mara.
Oh, I was furious about this. Because I was very close to the whole Jackie Cahill thing. His late calling ashore and not standing. Ryan O'Mara was his PA. Everyone. Alan Kelly, Fianna Fáil, Michael Smith is going to get it. I said, are you sure? I like the cut of this guy's jib, Ryan O'Mara, one of the faces for the future, like Albert Dolan, like a lot of these youngsters, Barry Heenan. Mm. He is someone to watch out for. An incredible performance in the space of 6 weeks to go from PA and a councillor to being a TD. You know, it was a last-minute.com campaign. Incredible performance.
And then tip south. So you had picked John O'Heaney.
Originally, I was on Healy.
You were, and in fairness, you said it to me early on. You said, are you hearing anything about
Tom
Healy?
Tom Hayes.
And
I'm going to name and shame here. Tom Hayes put me wrong here. He said there has to be a seat from Tipperary Town, Cashel side, the west of the constituency. I said there has to be a left seat. One Fianna Fáil, Matty McGrath, both centre-right. And he said, no, he's too old. He's this and that. And you know, when Martin Brown went out of Sinn Féin, there was a left seat and it was last man standing, Seamus Healy.
Now, Waterford, my own patch, I am kicking myself over. Because I came into this saying to Sinn Féin and I backed away from it. And I said, independents are going to have a good day and he'll squeeze out the second. And lo and behold, in fact, I got a text from you've been out in your sources all episodes, so I'll have mine. I got a text from David Cullinan on the night at the Saturday count, and all it said was, oh ye of little faith.
Yeah.
And fair play to him because he got a second over the line.
Well, I'm going to blame you here because I followed you. I thought you'd have some local knowledge. I knew Matt Shanahan was vulnerable. And I kind of said, well, look, Sean, if he gets one right, it'll be this. I'll follow him on this. So I'm blaming you for that.
Lo and behold,
okay.
Yeah, of course.
Wexford 100% right, and I got them in correct order as well.
Yeah, Verona Brown, Lawler, Maidan, all in there. And again, Mick Wallace, very poor performance, wasn't at all at the races.
Yeah, it just was a mistake to stand.
Mm.
You know, things were in a complete... He hadn't been seen in Wexford for 7 years.
Mm.
Like, that was no surprise to me.
And then Wicklow. And I'm a bit annoyed about Wicklow as well. Because I am annoyed about Wicklow because I was on the edge of saying to Fine Gael, with my thinking being exactly what happened, that Harris would have a huge vote. And then when they had crisis after crisis and it was all about Harris, I said, he'll come close, Timmins, but he won't quite get there. And in the end, Harris gets his bauble, his cherry on top.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, I take no pleasure in saying this, but all the warning signs from my Fianna Fáil contacts that Donnelly had just, it wasn't that he hadn't done this work or he hadn't done that. He just didn't get it.
Mm.
He didn't get it that he needed to have a constituency organisation, workload, everything. Close the offices, no counsellor, no clinics. Like, what did you expect? Like, a really, really serious flawed judgment there. On the question of Timmins, what I thought was weak against him was geography.
Yeah.
There just is not enough people in West Wicklow and Bolton Glass to elect someone. However, Andrew Doyle, former Fine Gael TD from Roundwood, went out night and day, and he, more than Harris, got Timmins elected.
Mm.
Now, Harris' performance was phenomenal there, and all the rest, Brady and Whitmore, as predicted, changed and made the right decision on Wicklow, Wexford. Look, Art O'Leary will have to mend his hand here. What there needs to be is 2 3-seaters in Wexford and, a 5-seater in Wicklow. And just take a small slither and the population may change. But like, you ended up with no South Wicklow TD.
It's remarkable.
And you gerrymandered and engineered it to happen and it still didn't happen. Again, a disappointing independent Pierre Leonard's there. And the Sinn Féin, a guy who struggled to get re-elected to the council, got the last seat on his vote down, sails into the Dáil.
Yeah.
The most uncompetitive constituency in the country. Fair play to Malcolm. I've said some interesting things about him during the campaign, but he got in. And Mr. Brennan, first time to ever get involved in politics, to get in. Brian Brennan lived 13 years in Sri Lanka. That's some achievement. The Darcy's got him home. So,
and you now have a situation where Southeast Radio is doing its interviews with TDs and they are interviewing 7 Wexford TDs because there is none in the Wicklow end, which I thought just mathematically did not make sense. And as you say, this is a constituency nearly designed to give Arklow a TD. Poor Arklow still doesn't have a TD and remains one of the few towns in the country that hasn't had one at some point in the history of the state. So when you take it all together and notwithstanding some of the exceptions, so like I thought there would be maybe more of a chance for Donnelly because there's a general Fianna Fáil wind behind them. That didn't pan out. There's other examples you can pick across the country of where that was the case, Longford, Westmeath, that we've talked about. When you take it as a whole, and now we look towards government formation, I mean, Fianna Fáil have to flex a bit of muscle here, don't they? They have to be not only, well, if there's a rotating Taoiseach, they have to get it longer. They have to get more ministries. They have to be the senior party.
One of the mistakes I've made over my lifetime, so I opened 60-something betting shops and I'd say to the landlord in Carlow or Wicklow Town, I'll give you £3,000 a month for it, I'll give you £5,000. And I'd say, that's it. There's no negotiation, take it or leave it. Big mistake. You work on the reciprocation principle. So if I offer you £4,000, you'll come down from 5 to 4.5 when we'll meet somewhere in the middle. If I give you a concession. So it's very simple. Fianna Fáil concede rotating Taoiseach as a principle, but Fine Gael have to concede 55%, 45% of the time. And you will see that on the ministries and the Senate. You take it in one, you take it in the other, in the junior ministers. So what you're going to see is adults in the room. There'll be certain stuff agreed by the 18th of December, which is the shape of it, which is a, like, why am I turning on News Talk and listening about the Sock Dems and Labour? Like, they're not relevant to the government.
You don't think they're going to go in at all? They're just going to back away and say, what the benefit is?
It's not even up for consideration mutually. Just move on and
mutually from whom? Sorry, between each other to go in together,
no,
between them
Gael,
and the bigger
Fianna Fáil and both sides. Both sides. It's just not viable. No traction. So the interesting thing is, so Lowry is the main point of contact for the regional independents. Will the regional independents? You could have, you see, because of Dáil Éireann, Aontú would join the regional independents, but won't be part of the government deal. So interesting times ahead. Stay tuned to News Talk, I'd say.
Yeah. So you had a bit of gossip for us, you said at the start, the backbiting, the stabbing, all the rest. Who's stabbing who?
Well, I mean, like, you see, the best method is always the bloodless method. They don't know they've been stabbed till it's all over. So, I mean, like, some of this is delicate stuff. But, like, the way it is this, I would say there'll be one senior, two juniors, three committee chairs maybe for the independents. I think that's where the ball will bounce. Interestingly, as we speak, could Verona Murphy be Cathain Corla? Right? First ever woman. Secondly, Wexford, no Fine Gael seat since 1927. Get her off the pitch. Could Fine Gael get a seat back? Win-win. And also the situation is, you know, should be well able to fight with the opposition leaders and so on in terms of, you know, holding the line. I actually just watched that space. I think she could emerge as Cathain Corla out of nowhere. A bit like Barry Heenan and all these other ones that nobody thought of that.
No, nobody thought, and like Barry Heenan could have a committee chair or a junior ministry or something first-time TD.
Finian McGrath is pulling all the strings there. He actually said he needed to have a cup of coffee with me. I just said, get stuck in, you know what I mean? Don't be talking to me, talk to the people who matter.
So after 45 episodes, after all that, and it's been a pleasure doing them, and it's been a pleasure working with you as much as we've torn our hair out, or what little of the hair is left at this stage, trying to get it done. What's your big takeaway? If you were writing the book on election 2024 and you're putting on your front cover, your pull quote, whatever it is, what's your takeaway?
Harris saved Fine Gael from a near-death experience. No party in modern era, Bertie, Blair, Thatcher, has got a fourth term. They were heading for 20 seats after the care and family referendum. Kudos, but the main star of the election was Micheál Martin, no question. He kept calm. He let things whistle by his left ear. He had some good debates. He kept, there was no real splintering in the party. People ran off to be independents all over the place who weren't selected. They kept, you know, Eugene Murphy, Michael Sheehan, all these people, and they just kept their head. Sean Dorgan did a good job. So basically what I would say is that independents, not a great day. Sock Dems and Labour, there is a market for when the Greens go down for a soft left party. I think a confused mind doesn't buy. There are too many left options between Independents for Change, People Before Profit, Sock Dems, Labour, Sinn Féin. You know, it's just, they're going to have to sort that out if they're serious about government. But watch out, the SF juggernaut is still gathering momentum, because the combined total of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil for each decade for 100 years is dropping. Mm-hmm. And that is because they're in the grave. And the fact of the matter is that there's potentially a long-term realignment which could go either of two ways. Either a Sinn Féin left-leg government, or more likely, after Micheál Martin, SFFF government, because you see, once you get used to the Mercs and Perks, you kind of like to hold on to them.
Or get into them, in Sinn Féin's case. And it is interesting on those left votes, actually, there's this big talk of a swing towards the centre-left. They've actually come back with one less seat than the Sock Dems, Labour and the Greens had combined in the last all. So there is just that block, but it hasn't necessarily gotten any bigger. And how they develop that into a potential left government will be very easy.
A pleasure to work with you and Mark, two professionals. I just keep bluffing and blagging away.
Well, that's what we had you here to do, you know, that's your MO. It has been a pleasure working with you as well, Ivan, and thank you to Mark and to Jess and to Aisling and to everyone else and all the digital team who worked on the podcast. And thanks to you for listening. A lot of people have been getting in touch, some of them giving out, which is to be expected, but more people saying that they genuinely enjoyed it and that it was formative and a bit of crack. And
I think unique. I don't know of anyone who did so. Like, so Sean has produced a Bible of all the collated local election results and so on. I need to get a copy of that before this is over.
I think they were hunted out of the office, actually. We might have to print one more out for you. So, and I'll sign it as well, you know, just to give it that bit of extra value. Absolutely. Into minus value.
What did you say? Who finished on top in the end? I forget.
We're out of time, actually. We need to go. So Ivan by one, and we'll be back hopefully in 4 or 5 years' time, maybe, to do it again.
I'll be in the Moyne Cemetery anyway.
Thanks for listening to Calling It. And yes, thank you for your earballs throughout this campaign.
Calling It with Ivan Yates and Sean Defoe.
A News Talk original podcast.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.